from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know what I find very interesting here? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Good to have you with us. So look, we're well into this government shutdown. And the entire point of this process, there are several points. First of all, we cannot surrender President Trump's his program. We cannot do that. We cannot sacrifice the president's agenda for the Democrat Party. And that's probably the big issue, number one. That's why they shoved through this continuing resolution, which, by the way, is disgusting. And we've talked about this over and over again. I don't want to rehash that today. But for the sake of the argument, the other part of this is the Republicans and their ability to stand firm, which so far up until today, they have been able to do. But there's something that is about to happen in about a week or so, about 2 weeks from now, when SNAP benefits will be denied to Americans because there is no money available. And until this continuing resolution is passed, there will not be any money. So a massive number of people, tens of millions of people in this country, currently receive welfare. They get food stamps. And that money is about to dry up. And it needs to dry up. And that's the big issue. Should the Republicans intervene here and try to save the food stamps? That's the big question. So Josh Hawley, who is the senator from Missouri, introduced a bill today that would reinstate funding for SNAP. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We used to call it food stamps. We're well into week number three now of the government shutdown, and food stamp money is drying up. So Josh Hawley says, quote, "We need to start forcing Democrats to make some tough votes. We need to start holding their feet to the fire. I mean, do they really not want people to be able to eat? This situation is ridiculous." So Hawley is introducing this legislation, and he wants Democrats on the record saying that they will not support food stamps. I mean, the Democrats are pretty much double down, triple down, quadruple down. I don't know how many votes have we taken out, 12 votes? In the Senate. Now, right now, 42 million people get food stamps. That's nearly one out of every eight Americans. That's money, by the way, that's provided by your tax dollars. And people, there are literally families in America, generations of families that have grown up on food stamps, living in Section 8 housing, the whole nine yards. It's insane. And a number of state governments are now warning that until Congress agrees on new funding, they cannot distribute any benefits in November. That would be Texas, New York, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and others. 42 million Americans, one out of every eight Americans, is getting taxpayer-funded assistance. It's insane. Now, Senator Hawley announced new bills targeting federal funding for the Farm Service Agency and SNAP, and he's framing his effort. I'm reading from Newsweek here. Framing his effort as a direct challenge to Democrat lawmakers. Hawley said that his legislation aims to force action to restore funding for agriculture and food assistance service. So the question now is, what are the Democrats going to do about this? In the meantime, you have all of these folks going on social media, and they're in a complete meltdown right now. People are enraged. Enraged that they won't be getting taxpayer-funded money. I want you to listen to, there are so many sound bites here I want you to listen to, because this is outrageous, just absolutely outrageous. Cut number six, please.
This morning I called my local DSS office, and I asked them to confirm whether or not what I was hearing was true, knowing it was true, that SNAP benefits are not coming next month. And she said, yeah, no, you're right. They're not coming. I said, okay, well, I hadn't heard anything, you know, confirming what I'm hearing. So I was just calling to check. And she said, you're not going to hear anything. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, your local DSS are trying to figure out what's going on, but the state DSS is not planning on telling anybody what's going on. They're not planning on letting the citizens know that they're not going to get their food stamps next month. She also said that this would likely go on into December, that we will likely not get December's SNAP benefits. So that's great. That's lovely. So I'm coming to TikTok in hopes that there is an answer here. I don't know what the answer could be. I don't know what the solution could be. I don't know if is it mutual aid? Is it mutual aid? Do we all need to come together and start pooling our money and help these families like myself, like my mother, like my grandmother, who don't have the money to replace those benefits, who don't have the income to replace those benefits? What do we do? Because there are children, there are elderly, there are disabled people who do not have the money. And I have three children.
Baby.
And I have to feed them. The last time I came on here and talked to you guys about the SNAP benefits, I was full on crashing out. I'm not crashing out this time. I'm scared, but I'm angry. This time I'm angry. And I will not just sit here and mope and cry about it. I will not sit here and just panic and sit in the floor and scream and cry this time. This time we need a plan. We need something that we can do together to figure this out. If you know of any creators, organizations that are pulling stuff together and are trying to figure out what's going on, help me. Send them my way or send me their way.
All right. Enough of this. So look, here's the deal. This woman just said that three generations of her family are depending on handouts from taxpayers to survive. And I'm just wondering, I mean, if this woman has no money, how is it that she's able to purchase a smartphone where she's able to post all of her videos from her very nice car that she's driving? How is that possible? Now, some of you are already weighing in on our Facebook live stream here. And my philosophy is this: get a job. And you know what? I don't care. This has nothing to do with white, black, Hispanic. This is about being deadbeat Americans. Now, I get it. If you're handicapped or disabled or whatever the politically correct term is, and you can't go out and work, great. The government's there to give you a helping hand. But all the rest of you people, you're deadbeats. Get off your butt. Get out of the lazy boy. Get out of your house and go find a job. J-O-B. That's the solution to all of this. So here's what Lane is writing. Todd, the problem with today's economy is you have to work your butt off to get enough money to buy a bubble gum. But the average grocery store trip is around $200 for only a few essential items. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Becca writing in, I'm a CNA watching elderly people eating cat food because they can't afford food, can't get to a pantry. It's disgusting. They worked, paid taxes, then have to eat cat food. This is not a joke. Well, I'm just going to ask you, Becca, why are you watching elderly people eat cat food? Why don't you go to the grocery store? Why don't you buy them some groceries if, in fact, elderly people are eating cat food? Why don't you pick up the phone and call some local church or some organization, Meals on Wheels, that specifically serve the senior citizen community? If, in fact, old people are eating cat food, as you allege. But it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, when you have 40-plus million Americans getting food stamps, that to me says we got a lazy country. A lazy country. Cut number 8, please.
My kids have not eaten 5 days. It is the taxpayer's responsibility to take care of my kids.
Trump done cut no food stamps off.
If you're poor, don't have kids, okay? If you're struggling, don't have kids. Don't bring more in. If you already have them, that's another situation. If you don't have them, don't bring any in. And if you have two, don't go having another one. If you have one, don't go having two more.
So they say 2 million is getting cut off this month for the scamps. I'm about to go find out if I'm in that number. In that ratio.
It's been day 5 and I have not received no food stamps. My disability checks is on hold. My cash benefits is not coming no more. They're still pending. It is the taxpayer's job to pay for my kids to eat and for my kids to be taken care of. I have over 2,000 followers on TikTok, and I can't get not one person to send me 50 cents? If you watch a video and you can't send me nothing, I'm blocking.
All right. Well, good luck with that. She probably lost a lot of followers there. You know what's interesting about this lady who has no money to feed her children? I could not help but notice, Dylan, she had state-of-the-art earbuds. And those are what, $180, $200? Those are very expensive earbuds.
That's a good observation you noticed.
Just want to point that out. Not only that, she is, again, sitting in a very nice vehicle, and she's doing this recording on a smartphone. So if you're that destitute, ma'am, why are you using a smartphone? Why are you purchasing these high-dollar earbuds? And why are you not on public transportation? Maybe somebody could explain that one to me. But people are really serious. They truly believe a significant percentage of the population believes that we have it's our responsibility to take care of these deadbeats. So now people are out there threatening these grocery stores and saying, "Hey, look, if we don't get our food stamps, we're gonna start rioting. We're gonna start looting." Cut number 9, please.
Y'all better lock y'all cars at night. Lock your cars. Lock your house up. If you're one of them people that just leave your car unlocked, parked in your driveway, you better lock it. With the food stamps being gone and people not gonna have no, people gonna eat, okay? Nobody's just gonna, this is 2025, nobody's just not gonna eat. Nobody's, food stamps, I'm telling you right now, even with the government shutdown and the food stamps and stuff being gone for next month, and it's gonna affect everybody, there's about to be a lot of stuff going on, okay? I'm not even going to talk about it too much because, hey, you know what's about to happen. Lock your cars. Lock them.
Oh, this guy is enraged because his food stamps got cut from $2,800 a month to $350. Take a listen to Cut 5.
Trump has cut my food stamps from $2,800 down to $350. Now, what am I supposed to do? Huh? So I literally just got this piece of mail today saying that due to new policy changes from the Trump administration, all this, whatever, that all these cuts and whatever he's doing over there. Now they're telling me I have to go work. Now I have to go do all this. Well, I literally got 5 kids. Okay. I'm trying to sit here and spend time with them. I'm not trying to go work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week so I can pay bills. I just really don't understand. You know, I voted for him this last election because I thought what he had good was going on. But now all of a sudden, all this policy stuff's coming out and now he's making all these cuts. And now he doesn't want to help the less fortunate people no more. I'm done with that guy. I'm done with that guy. I'm not, If he gets voted in again, I'm leaving this country because I'm not dealing with this no more.
Okay, go. Bye-bye. See you later. I mean, seriously, this guy that you just heard, he looks perfectly able-bodied. In other words, he could be out there digging a ditch. He could be working down at Walmart. He could be working down at the 7-Eleven or even the Wawa. But he doesn't want to do that. What about Buc-ee's, sir? What about Buc-ee's? Is that beneath you, sir? Now, to all of you folks out there, and I just want to offer a thought here because I know there are many of you with, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 children from various and sundry baby daddies. And I just want to offer this advice as we go to break. You know, if you are a person who doesn't have a job and you have no means to support yourself, you don't need to be out there having babies. So my recommendation to you is keep the thighs shut and the zippers zipped. And if you do that, you know, you're going to have a fighting chance. We got to take a break here. But ladies and gentlemen, what do you say to these people who believe that it is your responsibility to go out, work your butt off, and then support these deadbeats? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or healthcare. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/starns or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation.
Seen a lot of people crashing out about all this EBT stuff with the government closing down. What are we supposed to do? Here's the thing that I think a lot of people misunderstand. I worked my ass off to take care of my family, and I as well, the last 4 years under Joe Biden's economy, watched our economy go into the watched a gas become unaffordable, watched groceries and housing become unaffordable. And I guess the expectation was Trump was supposed to magically fix this on day one. All of us knew that wasn't necessarily possible, but to try to get things in a better direction to get some of these prices lowered. But what I'm going to tell you is this. The same internet that is crashing out right now about the EBT situation and the SNAP benefit situation were the same generation that would do Costco EBT hauls and fill up four and three carts and buggies full of all kinds of processed food and sodas and energy drinks and chips and cakes and cookies, you know, all on the government dime.
Yeah, it's true. And people really got upset about all of that. It's like, how in the world and what kind of a parent would fill their baskets with all that kind of stuff? Or really, they don't have baskets at Costco. They have the big carts. Why would you do that? Why would you put your kids in a situation where they're going to grow up to be, you know, be obese? It makes no sense to me. So, look, I want to go back because, again, I'm not a cold-hearted person. And somebody on the Facebook feed said, Todd, elderly people are having to eat canned food. They have to buy canned food because they can't afford regular people food. Well, I did a quick search during the commercial break, and, again, I was pricing out things. For example, 30 cans of Fancy Feast, which is the canned food. I believe it's poultry-based. That's $25 for 30 cans. Well, you know what? For $18, you can get a 12-pack of tuna fish. Not just any tuna fish. This is not even like the discounted tuna fish. That may not even be tuna. No, this is actually the chicken of the sea. This is good stuff here. So for a few more dollars, you could actually be eating human tuna food as opposed to the Fancy Feast cat food. Or if you wanted to, you could get a giant bag of red beans. You can make delicious red beans and rice I know you might get sick of it, but, you know, at least it's better than eating cat food. You can get that for the same amount that you're paying for the Fancy Feast. Or bear with me. You could get a 5-pound tub of peanut butter. Now it's not Jif, it's not Peter Pan, it's the off-brand peanut butter. But you could get a 5-pound thing of peanut butter for $29, and that would definitely get you. If you're eating 5 pounds of peanut butter each month, that's a lot. What I'm saying is, I don't believe it. I don't believe that elderly people are having to eat tuna fish. Or rather, catfish. I just don't believe that. Did I say catfish? I mean cat food. I could go for some catfish. Maybe some hush puppies. But not if you're on food stamps. Jeez a loo, people. Gotta take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. This is the Todd Stern Show. We're broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. What advice would you like to give to all of these people that are on food stamps? Many of them are not going to be getting any money in November because of the Schumer shutdown. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Jessica, starting our day in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jessica. What's going on?
Good morning. I have a question. When I was a child, I knew people in the country who received something called, I thought it was called commodities. And what those families would receive would be dried milk, a big package. Wait, let me put my seatbelt back on.
All right, there.
They'd get a big package of peanut butter. They'd get a big package of cheddar cheese. And I believe they got potted meat, some kind of a meat product. And it was something they got monthly. So you didn't have food stamps back then. If one of your listeners knows anything about that, I'm just wondering whether that's something that could be – food stamps is a bad idea because the recipient is not educated on, in my opinion, what to buy that is healthy, what to buy that's economical, what – you were talking about children being obese, what to buy that's going to keep your children healthy. But the commodities that I recall seeing and hearing about were basic foods that were nutritious and kept a family fit.
Yeah, so there was, Jessica, this was something that was implemented during FDR's time in office. This goes all the way back to the 1930s when the government went in and bought all of these surplus agricultural goods from farmers. So they went to the farms, anything they had that was surplus, the government bought, and then they took all of those resources and gave them to low-income families and schools. And you're right, there were things like flour and butter, lard, powdered milk, and things like canned beef, among other things. But I would be curious to know, we may have some old-timers who remember those days.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm not dependent upon it, so other people may go, yes, yeah, sure, she thinks it's a great idea, but I think it is a good idea. I mean, those are basic nutritious things that can feed a family.
Well, Jessica, the whole point of SNAP benefits, EBT, whatever, food stamps, whatever you want to call it, the whole point of that is just to help people temporarily. You hit a rough patch, and then the government is there to lend a helping hand until you get back up on your feet. It was never meant to be a permanent thing. And now, Jessica, we have people literally having babies so they can get more money from the government. But then you've got generations of families now living in Section 8 housing at taxpayer expense. And you've got generations of families that are on food stamps at taxpayer expense.
There's a problem with that. I agree there's a problem.
I wonder what role, if any, should churches have. I mean, churches clearly can't, you know, be grocery stores for people. But, you know, I wonder if a lot of churches, you know, need to take a look at maybe having food pantries and helping out those in their local communities and neighborhoods.
I know that there are churches who do that. That's something they do. They have food drives. Where that food goes, I don't know. But I agree with you. That's what a great reason to bring a can of tuna and a, you know, box of cereal. Do they even make powdered milk anymore? I don't know. But you're right. I mean, that's something that could be available to people.
Yeah. Jessica, I appreciate the call. And, yeah, thanks for the intel. And if any of you do remember the Federal Surplus Commodities Program, that was the actual name of it, back in the 1930s, where the government would provide people in need with things like flour, butter, lard, so on and so forth. I want to play this audio. This is a crazy lady. Dylan, she's got, what, six kids? Is that right? Six kids. And she's enraged. Enraged. Take a listen.
Me and my kids have been 5 days without food. 5 days ago, my food stamps were taken from me, stolen from me, with no warning, no warning. Today, I get this food stamp letter from the fucking food stamp office telling me not only am I losing my food stamps, I'm losing my $2,100 in cash benefits that I get every single month to pay my bills. I'm losing my Section 8. My food stamps have now decreased from $4,300 to $19 a month for six kids. How the hell am I supposed to feed six kids at $19 a freaking month? On top of having to come up with rent. Rent. Because now I don't have Section 8.
Okay, so let me stop here. This woman is getting $51,600 from the American taxpayers to feed her family. $51,600. That's more than some people make getting a paycheck in this country. Do you understand the insanity we're talking about here? And again, I find it hard to believe that they've gone 5 days without any food. Do you really believe that? I'm having a hard time with this, but there are a lot of people that are outraged. They believe that you have to go to work and that you have to work your butt off so they can stay home and watch Netflix and play video games and do all that other stuff. And it seems to me, in a way, an argument could be made. This is almost a reverse form of slavery where all of us have to go out and we've got to work our butts off while these deadbeats stay home and get money from us. It is just infuriating, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to put a stop to this. So I'm glad that Senator Hawley is going out there and he's going to force the Democrats' hand. He wants them on the record rejecting the opportunity to reinstate these SNAP benefits. But I got to tell you, this may be the best thing to happen to our country. Because maybe, just maybe, if these folks get hungry enough, they're going to walk outside their home and they're going to go and get themselves a job. Let's go to Virginia. Wayne listening to us on WINC. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
Wayne, I'm a little fed up and frustrated with these deadbeats.
I agree with you 100%. My mom and dad told me back in the day, they said, don't breed them if you can't feed them.
Wait, what was that?
Don't breed them, B-R-E-E-D. Don't breed them if you can't feed them.
I love that.
And I remember the government surplus stores. They were still around in the 70s. And to tell you the truth, they had some of the best cheese you could get.
That government cheese, remember? Used to talk about the government cheese.
Yes, sir. The government cheese was very good. But I do stand by that. Don't breed them if you can't feed them. My wife and I had one son, and we determined that was enough. That's all we could afford, and that's what we stuck with. And
well,
we still had a good life, but we took precautions.
Wayne, yeah, I mean, and that's what you have to do. And look, everybody's going to go through a hard time. Not everybody going through a hard time will have to ask for help from the government, but that's the reason it's there, for an emergency. It's a lifeline. It's not a way of life.
Yeah, because I know about that lady talking about the shoppers at Costco, and I've seen it myself. People with bags of crab legs and steak dinners and T-bones and stuff I can't even afford. And I work every day, and I'm 63 years old, been doing the same job for 43 years, and I still go to work every day, and I can't afford that stuff.
Wayne,
I disagree with it 100%.
I don't know what religion you are. I'm a Baptist, and back when I was in youth group, You know, we would go on these summer mission trips and we would go help the poor people. And we went to one neighborhood and we're, I don't know, painting a house or doing something, cleaning up somebody's yard. And I'm looking down the street and Wayne, I'm telling you, everybody had new cars. They have big screen TVs. And I'm thinking, we don't have this back at home. And I thought, if these people are poor, what does that make me?
Yeah, like back in the 60s when they called it the welfare Cadillac. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. That's right.
Yeah, they don't like Cadillacs anymore. They got to have the big Broncos and Hummers and all that kind of stuff now. Like you said, if you can afford a cell phone and earbuds and all that, yeah, get some reality in line and feed your kids and do away with the unnecessities.
I love it. All right, give us the slogan one more time, Wayne. I love this.
Don't breed them if you can't feed them.
Don't breed them if you can't feed them. I love that. We need that on a T-shirt. Wayne, thank you for some pretty wise words there, my friend. All right, there you go. Don't breed them if you can't feed them. It's true. No, we would always go on these mission trips. I never could understand that. And it was always to like another state or like a foreign country. And everybody always seemed to be living much better than we did back home. I thought maybe we ought to do a mission trip in my neighborhood. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, Senator Tommy Tuberville joins us. We're going to have a great conversation with Alabama Senator, now running for governor, by the way. And speaking of Newsmax, a special offer from our good friends there, PaganThreat.com. I want you to go there right now, PaganThreat.com. Right before Charlie died, he penned the foreword to a new book written by Pastor Lucas Miles. Pastor Miles wrote a book called Pagan Threat, and this is the plan to stop the wokeness that has infected our country, and it's doing incredibly well. It's been a number one bestseller over at Amazon for quite some time now, and you're able to get it wherever you buy your books. However, Newsmax wants to offer you a free deal. It's a special offer. You're going to be able to get a copy of Pagan Threat free of charge, save $30, but you have to go to the website PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com. We'll be right back. Hey, Dylan, remember the guy from Iowa who's running for president and wants Donald Trump to be his running mate?
I do remember.
He sent us the country music song he recorded.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I ought to send it to you.
Please do.
I was listening in the break.
That guy's a hoot.
Yeah, uh-huh. Let's go to Paul in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Paul. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Paul.
Yeah, well, I'm calling in to comment on that subject about how people are losing their benefits and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I just want to say I'm happy. I'm happy if they're losing it because I've been working. I mean, I'm 36 years old. I started my own business 3 years ago. You know, real American dream, you know, working hard, you know, really pays off. And I have relatives, literally relatives, that will sit on their butt collecting EBT, WIC, food stamps, housing assistance, everything like that. And I will visit them. You know, I'm from New Orleans, by the way. I'll go visit them, and they're just laid out, you know, gaining weight, not doing nothing, sitting on their butts. And I think the other guy was like, hey, we got TVs and stuff like that. Yeah, they're literally saving a crap ton of money by having us taxpayers pay off all these things so they can live a nice, comfortable lifestyle when people like me and you wake up every day. Even the listeners can actually go out, work our butts off, just to come home to look at what, wow, I only have a few items in my refrigerator. I go visit her house, and I think the other guy was like, hey, we have crab legs, steaks, and all that stuff. Yeah, they do. I mean, she had, like, what, 3 kids? And she was getting, like, maybe $2,000 a month. And it's like, wow, you're living this good? You know, and then she's teaching, you know, her daughter, you know, hey, you don't need to work hard. Go do this, apply for this. And it's like a generational problem. Especially if they've been doing it for so long, they're literally just teaching their kids, hey, you don't have to work hard. Go apply for all these government subsidies and grants and housing assistance and things like that. And then it builds a generational problem. So that's why I felt I just needed to get out and say, hey, it's not fair. I'm glad, you know, everything is shutting down. Now they can actually get off their butts and go actually do something. Or, like you say, they don't get food, they don't eat. Of course, they're going to have to figure something out.
Paul, you know this because you got your own business. So you're working your butt. I know you're working your butt off. I know what that's like. You know, but you've got... this has been going on for a very long time, and there's been this culture of laziness in America, and I think it was exacerbated when COVID came along, and then the government said, no, you don't go to work, you sit in your lazy boy, and we'll send everybody a check. I think that was one of the worst things they ever could have done to this country.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And, you know, they want to say, oh, the Republicans are this, no. I mean, it's been a Democrat problem for years. They just want to keep giving. But then when it comes on to collect, nobody's good at collecting. It's just like, let me just keep giving it out.
That's it. Paul, thank you for listening to KWAM, and thanks for calling in. Great opinion. And Paul, he's right on the money. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Emory, listening to us on WDUN. All right, Emory, what say you?
Todd, you hit it on the head. When you said three generations from the spoiled brat that wanted taxpayers to pay money, her mama, her grandmama was on the process of food stamps, free, and she breed them, don't breed them. If you can't feed them, what a slogan. But I wanted to tell you, there's one thing I kind of disagree with you on. Government does not have any money. Government can't give money away to help people, even disabilities, etc. I'm in government. With that, churches, businesses, and people, good-hearted people, that's who should be helping the needy that basically are handicapped, they have problems, they can't work. Gainesville, we have good news at noon. This is a facility, if you've been here, I know you have. We take the homeless, take people in. We have retired dentists, doctors, nurses that treats people. They come in. They have to have a meal and listen to God's word. We have another one called North Georgia Works. They take these sperm donors. They take all these problems of people with alcohol and drugs. They put them in a facility, get them a job. They bring in money from the job, put it in a bank that they maintain and manage. We'll have graduation next week for another class. Now, when they graduate, they already have a place for them to live. They pay 6 months' rent out of their own money that's in the bank. Then after the next 6 months, a year of being established again, bring back integrity to these people, they start giving them their checking account to start managing themselves. That's what we need to get on, is stop the handouts. And the gentleman that called, the government cheese, it was amazing. My grandmother at 78 years old, single, my granddad had died. She was working in the cafeteria, taking up money, and I'll never forget, never. We went to get her cheese and honey because she didn't make anything, and they told her she made $13 too much to get it, and they were going to cut her off. And a lady comes up with six kids in a two-year-old or a year-old Cadillac, candy wrappers everywhere, comes in and gets her cheese and her honey. I'll never forget it.
Emory, we got to leave it there, my friend. The computer's going to cut us off, but thanks for the story. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't feed them, don't breed them. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this situation in New York City is insane. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today. So tonight is the final debate In the mayor's race, you have Zohran Mamdani, who is the jihadist and communist, who is leading everybody by double digits. You have Andrew Cuomo, who's running as an independent. And then you have Curtis Sliwa, who got the Republican nod. And all three of them are going at it, and it's just getting so ugly. And I want to explain what just happened about involving Curtis Sliwa. Now, Sliwa, the guy, he's the guy who founded the Guardian Angels. You guys remember the Guardian Angels back in the 70s and 80s in New York City. And they became really legends across the entire country as they were fighting crime in the subways and on the streets of New York City. And Sliwa did a great job. Now, Sliwa is not a card-carrying Republic or conservative Republican or MAGA conservative. He hates Donald Trump. He pledged, along with the other candidates, not to allow the NYPD to work alongside ICE agents. So the guy's a flaming leftist, but he's running as a Republican. He got the Republican nod. And Sliwa is now being told by the rich and the powerful, and many of them are Republicans, members of his own party, that he should drop out of the race. And here's the reason why. The latest polling data shows Mamdani at 43%, Cuomo at 28%, and Sliwa dead last at 19.4%. But in a two-man race, that same poll found that Cuomo would have pulled within 4 points of Mamdani. And so the general thinking is, at this late date, that if Sliwa were to drop out, then Cuomo would have a fighting chance to take out the jihadist, the Muslim. So they're putting on the pressure. Bill Ackman, who is a billionaire many times over, posting on X that Sliwa is just staying in the race for $5 million in matching funds from the city for his campaign. In other words, they're saying he's in it for the money, and that's why he's not pulling out, and it really has nothing to do at all with the good of the city. And Sliwa is alleging that people have privately offered him millions of dollars to pull out of the race, which he's rejected. And he said yesterday, he tripled down, said, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in this race." So Sliwa was also a talk radio host at WABC, which is owned by John Castamatidis. John's a friend of mine. John is a multi-bazillionaire, and he owns supermarkets in New York City. Super wealthy. And earlier today, well, Castamatidis had told Sliwa, you gotta step down. You gotta stop this. This is not, you're not gonna win. So anyway, earlier today, Sliwa was on WABC radio with his good buddy Sid Rosenberg. Rosenberg told Sliwa on air, "Dude, you gotta step out of the race." And then so did Castamatidis. And Sliwa just blew up and said, "That's it, I'm quitting." But he's not quitting the mayor's race. He quit his radio gig on air. Oh, that's never good. Anyway, Sliwa is very upset. He said, "You will never see me at the studios of WABC again." And he accused his colleagues on the radio show and the radio station of betrayal. They said they betrayed him, and they gave preferable treatment to Andrew Cuomo. And look, Andrew Cuomo, if you remember, accused of sexual harassment. He was facing possible criminal charges. He resigned from the governor's mansion under a massive cloud of scandal. So, and then, not to mention, his COVID policies killed a lot of grandparents across New York City. Not a pretty picture at all. So anyway, Sliwa now out at WABC, and they're accusing Sliwa of being selfish. John Castamatidis issued a plea of his own for the defiant Sliwa to raise the white flag, but to no avail. And so now his show has been taken off the air, and he will be replaced. The New York Post front page, a photo of Curtis Sliwa with the headline, "Just walk away, beret." Sliwa used to wear a beret all the time. Even allies tell Sliwa to drop mayor's bid. Don't let Zohran win. So what they're going to do is they're going to blame Sliwa for Zohran winning the election. So I'm curious, what do you think ought to happen here? Because there's only one true Republican in that. I mean, he's a leftist, but he's still a Republican, Curtis Sliwa. Will all of those Republicans then vote for Andrew Cuomo? Is that the play here that they're making? And I'm not sure that's going to work. Look, you've got 3.3 million Democrats registered to vote in New York City. You've got about 600,000, nearly 600,000 Republicans. So I'm not sure it's going to move the needle that much. I don't know. Maybe it will. But it just seems to me that if you're going to talk about spoilers, it seems to me the true spoiler in the race was, in fact, Andrew Cuomo. He got beat. He got butt hurt in the Democrat primary. Mandami beat Cuomo in the Democrat primary. Cuomo then came back and is running as an independent. So for me, the argument is Andrew Cuomo's the spoiler here. Why couldn't we encourage all those Democrats to jump on board the Sliwa bandwagon? I'm just saying, why is he the one that has to take the bullet here? That's what I don't get. So anyway, again, when you look at Cuomo and the guy's tainted by sex scandals, all sorts of atrocities, I don't know. It just seems to me that Cuomo is the guy here. So as it now stands, ladies and gentlemen, New York City on the verge of electing a 33-year-old Democrat. Some are accusing him of being a communist and a jihadist. Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, she hates the guy. She said that he is a jihadist who will destroy New York. I want to read to you her statement. "I call Zohran Mamdani a jihadist because he is. He's a raging anti-Semite. Mamdani is the definition of a jihadist as he supports Hamas terrorists, which he did as recently as yesterday when he refused to call for Hamas terrorists to put down their arms, the same Hamas terrorist group that slaughtered civilians, including New Yorkers, on October 7th. He is Kathy Hochul's endorsed jihadist communist, who she has empowered to destroy New York City. It's why the New York State Democrat Party chair refuses to support him. It's why multiple Democrat members of Congress refuse to support him. It's why Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries still have not endorsed him. Because Zohran is a jihadist who will destroy New York." Congressman Randy Fine of Florida, big defender of Israel, said Mamdani is little more than a Muslim terrorist, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt saying that the Democrat Party was catering to Hamas terrorists, illegals, and violent criminals. And just today, New York Times opinion writer Brett Stevens penned an essay titled "Why Mamdani Frightens Jews Like Me." He pointed out that Mamdani once wrote a rap song. Oh, he's a rapper, this guy. Mamdani penned a rap song professing his love for the Holy Land Foundation. Now, that's a charity convicted in 2008 of funneling $12 million to Hamas. And most recently, a photo surfaced showing Mamdani embracing an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Guy was beaming, grinning ear to ear. Mamdani's spokesperson condemning all of the attacks and said his critics were Islamophobic, xenophobic, and dangerous. Yes, but were they wrong? I don't think they were. I don't think they were. So what's the play here, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, is it better to have a scandal-plagued person like Cuomo as governor, or do you just let New York City burn and let the voters pick this guy? And by the way, one of the big reasons why Mamdani is the nominee is because most newcomers to America and newcomers into New York City, foreigners, they're the ones that support Mamdani. Yet another reason why we've got to pay attention to the kinds of people that we're allowing to enter our country. All right, so that's the very latest from New York. Yesterday, I had George Allen on. He's the former senator and former governor of Virginia. And it was a wild interview. I want you to take a listen to what the senator had to say. We're not going to play all of it, but take a listen.
Let's start with this new poll just released by Virginia Commonwealth University. And it puts former Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger 7 points ahead of Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears. Your take on that?
Well, it's similar to, I always look at trends and momentum, and I think there's momentum for the Republicans in Virginia. Our ticket in Virginia, that you vote for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general as separate individual races, but generally, you know, you're running as a ticket. The ticket in Virginia is being led by our attorney general. Our attorney general, Jason Meares, has done an excellent job. Operation Ceasefire, reducing crime across Virginia, especially in high crime city areas. He's been excellent in protecting the people, whether they're children from online predators or seniors from fraud, cracking down on trafficking. His opponent is a soft, criminal, coddling, dangerous individual with a terrible record of cashless bail and all sorts of different things. And then what has come out, several things that I think your viewers and listeners have read about, where he actually was so triggered by people speaking well of a Democrat legislator from Abingdon in Southwest Virginia upon his death. And he got so upset, he said, these Republicans, gosh, I hope to urinate on their graves. He put two bullets to the head of the Republican leader, Todd Gilbert. Then the person he was texting with, another member of the House of Delegates, she got upset with him, and he gets back on his rant, writing that he hopes to see that Todd Gilbert's children die in their mother's arm, a 2- and 5-year-old child. This is just, he's unfit. You wouldn't want someone like this driving your kids in a school bus or as a teacher or as a nurse or a doctor or any position of responsibility. He wouldn't pass a criminal background check, is what Jason Meares brought up in the debate. So Jason's race, Jason has now gone ahead. And that VCU poll and other polls, Jason was slightly behind. Jason Meares was slightly behind this dangerous, unfit, criminal coddling Jay Jones. And now he's ahead by 3, and there's other polls that have him ahead. The lieutenant governor's race, John Reed's completely outspent by his opponent, who's another far-left person who would do away with Virginia's right-to-work law and is on the side of criminals and all that. She won't even debate him, not even one debate. And so that race is tied. It's within 1 point. The governor's race is tightened a little bit, maybe by 2 or 3%. But I think we have momentum on our side. The other thing with this Jay Jones fellow, he got caught driving, reckless driving, convicted 116 miles an hour in a 70 speed zone. And part of his easy sentence was community service. Well, 500 hours of that community service was to his own political party, his own political PAC, I should say. This kind of stuff, I think Virginians are not going to put up with this. Now, there's going to be Democrats, yellow dog Democrats and yellow dog Republicans. Independents matter most in Virginia, and any of these undecided, uncommitted, independent swing voters, I think are going to be going to Jason Meares. I think he's going to help the rest of the ticket, including John Reed, who's run a great grassroots campaign, and will ultimately redound to the benefit of Winsome Sears as well.
Okay, let me jump in here. So he goes on. It was a long interview. The longer we went, I kept asking him questions about the lieutenant governor's race there as well as the governor's race. And I just got the impression he was not interested at all in weighing in on those. And it's because they're not doing well in the polls. Winsome Sears has been running. It's been a tough campaign for her, a tough campaign. And the lieutenant governor, not only is he not raising money, he's not resonating with the voters. And this whole scandal involving the allegations of gay Nazi porn, that's a big turnoff in the Republican world. I'm just telling you, it's a big turnoff there. I'm not judging. I'm just saying we've got to take a break. We're going right back to the phone lines. I'm curious, though, folks, do the Republicans need to do a better job of vetting candidates for these offices? Because that's ultimately the big issue we're dealing with here, right? In New York, in Virginia, And there are other states as well. We're going to get into that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The questions start early, and then they start multiplying.
Do babies hold grudges?
How do I know when he's full?
Logging poops, comma, necessary?
Raising kids raises enough questions. That's why we make one formula that feels right away. One that's intentionally made and clinically proven, with immune-supporting benefits in every scoop. One that uses breast milk as its North Star. You'll wonder about everything except this. ByHeart, the formula that answers. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
All right, let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Jim, listening to us on KWAM today. Hi, Jim, what's on your mind?
Wonder if they could bring back Rudy Giuliani, if they bring back Cuomo.
Well, yeah, Rudy, you know, Rudy is not in the best of health, Jim.
Yeah, I've heard he was a little bit under the weather, but I wasn't sure how much. But, you know, he would be good as Cuomo would, I can promise you.
Well, no doubt about that. I'm trying to go back and understand the thinking of the Republican Party there in New York City. They're telling me they couldn't find a single person in New York City better than Curtis Sliwa. They couldn't find anybody. Curtis Sliwa was the best they got.
I don't know. You know, hey, that place is so screwed up over here. I remember when the city almost financially went completely bankrupt, you know, back years and years ago. But I tell you what, I don't know who they can pick up there. You know, it's such a different mixture of people, you know.
Hey, by the way, Jim, I'm curious. You're there in the Memphis area. How are things going now that the National Guard's in town?
Well, I kind of like them being here. I mean, you know, I can't imagine anybody not wanting them to be here if the crime rate's going down and, you know, it's just the presence of them. But to be honest with you, I haven't seen the first truck or the first guardsman yet.
Wow. Well, I guess you must live in a really nice, safe neighborhood then. Maybe that's where they're at.
Well, Lakeland's pretty safe, you know, and everything. But the deal here, I hadn't even been downtown or anything. But I mean, you just don't hear as much about people, you know, shooting everybody. I mean, that's going to happen here and there. But I would just welcome them here and thank them. You know, if I see them, I'm going to say thank you for your service. You know,
well said.
I enjoy them being here.
All right, hey, well, Jim, thank you for that call. Yeah, here's one resident, cut number two.
Fool, I ain't even gonna care when I say this, bruh. But since they brought the National Guard down to Memphis, I ain't heard no screeching tires out late at night. I ain't heard no gunshots. These folks really putting belt to ass right now. That don't mean that crime ain't going on. But these folks really got these folks scared to go outside now. Like, this shit crazy.
Yeah, BTA, that's a belt to ass is what he was saying there. And that's exactly what the National Guard is doing. Over 1,500 agents on the ground in Memphis. Over 1,200 arrests so far. Wow. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. Want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right away. Our good friend Liz Peek, lizpeek.com is her website. I would suggest bookmarking it. You know, Liz, we were just talking about this crazy story in New York City. Curtis Sliwa just quitting WABC Radio in a huff on air as people, many of his friends even, now calling for him to drop out of the race.
Yeah, well, poor Curtis Sliwa. I really admire him. I think he's done a lot of good things for New York City, but staying in this race is not one of them. Todd, he cannot win. Under no circumstances is he going to win this race. He's run, by the way, someone pointed out to me today, for all his fans out there, he has yet to win a single vote. I mean, he ran in an uncontested Republican primary, so frankly, that was a sham. It should never have been allowed to develop in the way it did. But he's been a distant third all along. And, you know, I think everyone in New York is appalled. Everyone with a brain is appalled that this guy, Zohran Mamdani, who is really just a horrific candidate, could become mayor of this great city. I mean, he's clearly an anti-Semite. He's 34 years old, knows absolutely nothing about the economy of New York, promising all kinds of freebies that simply aren't going to happen. And all these gullible young voters are lining up to vote for him, including Jewish young voters. I mean, it's honestly astonishing. Todd, remember, it was 24 years ago that we suffered this enormous casualty, this enormous attack on New York on 9/11. And thousands of New Yorkers died at the hands of jihadist Muslims. And this guy cozies up to that very crew. So you really have to sort of scratch your head and say, what has happened to the intelligence of the voter? I have no idea. I'm hoping, look, and by the way, may I just also double back and say Andrew Cuomo is a horrible candidate. He was a horrible governor. I think he's a horrible person. But guess what? He's better than Zohran Mamdani for New York, I do believe.
You know, one of the stories I was reading just about the people, the voting base there in New York City and the people that are supporting Mamdani, overwhelmingly, like over 60-some-odd percent of foreign-born citizens are the ones that are supporting Mamdani here. And you really do have to wonder, when we're taking a look at immigration policies and who we're bringing into this country, the fact that we could very well have a communist, and as at least Devonik called him, a jihadist, as mayor of our nation's largest city. I mean, this is somewhat horrifying.
It is. And it's the kind of thing that's happened in England, you know, and I'm sure there are a great many Brits who are sitting there going, wait a minute, how did we end up with, what is it, seven major English cities now have Muslim mayors? And I don't know about their ties to terrorists, to Gaza, to Hamas and groups like that. And obviously, these are all assertions. My view is, why take a chance? I mean, the fact that Mamdani has had photographs taken of him with people like one of the unindicted co-conspirators of the World Trade Center bombings, you just have to say the guy either has no brains or there was a debate last week. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know why you would, since you don't live here. But Mamdani had this horrible grin on his face the whole time. Like, he'd answer a question. By the way, he never really answers a question like, how do you keep raising taxes and not expect the population of wealthy people to leave? He can't answer that because there is no answer. They will leave. They've been leaving, and they'll leave again in the future. They'll continue to. But every time he answered a question at all, he'd have this huge grin on his face, like, look what I just did, Mom. You know, it was sort of this horrible, smug arrogance. And he is arrogant. He thinks that the normal rules don't apply to him somehow because he has some charisma. He's like AOC in that. He has been successful in using social media. He's quite glib, and he's come up with, you know, some stock promises and campaign themes that are very successful. I mean, I give him credit for coming up with affordability as the thing he's running on. But someone should be deceived. Everything he is talking about doing will make New York even more expensive down the road. These are not easy fixes. What we need is less Democrat policies here, less regulation, lower taxes. You know, the tragedy is, I will tell you that probably 2/3 of my friends, have already left New York and moved to Florida because of high taxes, especially estate taxes. They don't want to die in New York because the taxes are so onerous. And they would come back in a heartbeat if tax regime here changed. And the reason is their kids are here. They have been here for decades. They love the city. They love Broadway. They love the museums, etc. They miss being here. When I was in Florida in the spring, I went to a dinner party with a lot of these folks, and they were literally practically looking at their watches and saying, yep, 3 days from now we can go back, because, you know, there's all these rules about you have to stay 180 days outside of New York to qualify as a non-New York resident. I mean, that's pathetic. To me, it is the most brain dead party, Democratic Party, that does not recognize that there are alternatives. There are other ways to build your economy, grow your economy, which is what Donald Trump is doing nationally, and end up better off than simply raising taxes on the same dwindling number of participants.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Liz. And, you know, yesterday we had, or day before yesterday on my Newsmax show, we were talking to Ryan Leonard. He's president of the College Republicans at NYU. And, I mean, he's just as stunned as everybody else is. But he said one of the big issues was the affordability issue. And a lot of people his age, especially, you know, even conservative kids, they're having a really hard time and they're struggling right now. And again, it's not a quick fix, you know, to undo all the damage the Democrats have done to the economy.
No question. And I am sympathetic with that to a degree. Frankly, New York has always been unaffordable. I mean, all of us came to New York and shared apartments with roommates. I did that when I came out of college. It was too expensive to live on my own, or guess what? I would have done it. New York is a small island. There's only a certain number of apartments here. And but if you ladle on all kinds of impediments to building, not just in Manhattan, but in the outer boroughs as well, guess what? It takes too long and the costs go up. And that, I mean, I can show you studies that New York City is the most expensive place in the world to build. Well, that isn't because of Republican policies. That's because of Democrat policies. And they've made it incredibly unaffordable. I'm sympathetic with that. On the other hand, somebody said to me the other day, okay, I'd love to live in Palm Beach. It is wildly expensive. I can't afford it. I'll live somewhere else. And I was kind of like, well, that's a good point. Not everyone can afford to live in Palm Beach. Not everyone can afford to live in New York. If you want to live in New Jersey and commute, that's available to you, or New York State or Connecticut, whatever. But I mean, this idea that we're going to be turning the economy of New York upside down to accommodate every living soul who wants to live here, that just doesn't work. And by the way, I mean, that's sort of an outside thought. The main thought is it's the policies of people like Mamdani, specifically Bill de Blasio and other Democrat mayors, who've made this city as expensive as it is.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Liz, what are you working on over on the website? What can we see over there today?
Well, I just did a rant on actually kind of fun story. Not very fun, but in France, the FT reported on Monday that, guess what? People in France are fleeing and their money is leaving France. Exactly the same theme. And what's amazing to me is, Todd, no one ever looks around the world and says, well, wait a minute, I'm going to put a wealth tax in place. They've talked about it in England recently. They're talking about it in France recently. What happens? You open the door and boom, there they go. All your wealthy inhabitants move to Luxembourg, or at least they send their investments to Luxembourg. Now, right now, Italy is the big hot new place because of Giorgia Meloni and the fact that she's got, you know, low tax conservative policies in place there. This is not rocket science. How is it that no one learns what works and what doesn't work? And I got to tell you, I look at what President Trump is doing. I don't know about you, but I am so cheered by the combination of all the economic policies they put in place, the tariffs. Okay, everybody hates tariffs, but you know what? It's a different day. We're not in Smoot-Hawley territory anymore. Much different times. We have economic clout, and we need to use it. And that's what this president is doing. By the way, China's been doing that for decades with much fewer cards to play, but they have purposely set out to undermine the U.S., and they've been very successful. We need to be more aggressive, and that's what President Trump is doing. I think it's very exciting.
LizPeek.com, everybody. Go check it out. Bookmark that page. Liz always has great content there. Liz, good to hear from you, and we'll see what happens in about a week and a half or so with this election.
I'm afraid I know what's going to happen, but thank you. I appreciate you having on.
All right, LizPeek, everybody. Great, great writer. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a school teacher. We told you a story about a week or so ago, and it's exciting. We have a big victory to share with you. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're so honored to have William Loggins joining us. He teaches social studies, and he's a great American patriot. And we told you about the Charlie Kirk poster that was in his classroom, and he was ordered to take down that poster. Mr. Loggins joins us today, and it's so good to have you with us, William. I want you to share with our listeners what was on that poster, the message, and why did you have it in your classroom?
Well, the message wasn't political at all. It's an inspirational quote from Charlie that reads, "Never underestimate the power of your voice and the impact you can have on the world when you speak up for what you believe in." And it's just one of the many inspirational posters that I have in my classroom. And I use these to motivate my students. I teach law to high school students, and I'm always trying to emphasize that, you know, critical thinking and not going along with the crowd and standing up for what you believe in.
So you have this poster up, and what is it? Did a student complain? How did you get on the radar of your principal?
Yeah, apparently a student didn't like it, complained, and it went from there to the principal received the complaint and sent it to the district, and the district almost immediately pretty much told him to have me take the poster down.
So instead of just, you know, leaving it there, you decided to file a grievance, you know, a complaint. You took it to the next level. Tell our listeners what happened.
Well, to file a grievance according to our contract through the union, which I am not a member of, but I had to go through the process of filing a grievance, and I hired one of the best attorneys in the nation, Anthony Sabatini. He's great. By the way, he's the one that got us our Charlie Kirk Memorial Highway, the first one in the country. And ironically, I drive that highway every day to work and back. So it's great. But, once the grievance was filed, it was sat on for a while. And then yesterday I was surprised. I got an email from the principal that I could put it back up.
Well, this is tremendous news, and I think, you know, a lot of it is you did exactly what Charlie said in that poster, which is you spoke out and you stood up for something you believed in.
Yeah, and it you know, it's a big win for my students. You know, I emphasize that a lot. It's not my win, it's their win, and I tell them, you know, you had the opportunity to learn what we've been talking about in real time. And they're just super excited about it. The school, that's all they're talking about now.
Well, I just love this, and that has to be such a motivating factor for the kids. I'm just curious, after Charlie's assassination, what were the students telling you?
Well, you know, of course, I was shocked like everybody else in the country, but my students, you know, you kind of like, it's hard to gauge. Until something like that happens. But I was really surprised at the emotional responses from my students. I mean, they were almost in tears, some of them talking about the assassination and how, you know, one student asked me directly, said, "How can someone kill somebody for what they believe in?" And, you know, I said, well, that's just the world we live in right now. But these students, they have the big opportunity to change things, to bring this country back together. This is our generation coming up, and I have a lot of hope in them.
This is so exciting to hear, and I know on so many campuses, a lot of kids are just afraid to talk about those issues. I'm not saying every single child is political, but I have to imagine there have got to be some conservative kids there at the high school you teach at in Florida.
Yeah, there is there's quite a few, a lot more than I thought, and I've been getting overwhelming support from parents, just dozens of emails of support from parents. I haven't even gotten any negative emails at all. It's all been positive, so I mean, it's great. God is great, I tell you. I've been praying about this a lot. It's happened.
Well, again, I so appreciate you reaching out to me, and I know the local Fox TV station did a piece, and of course it's gone national now. But that's a big part of it, is just standing up and speaking out and being a happy warrior about all of this.
Yes, and I'm so happy to, you know, I didn't expect any of this. I wasn't asking for it. I just put a poster up that I thought that the students needed to see. And, you know, and then it went to where it went from there. I wasn't expecting it at all, but it turned out great. It turned out that these students were able to learn, like I said, in real time, the freedom of speech and what can happen, just like Charlie says in the poster. When you speak up for what you believe in, you've got tremendous power.
Well, well said. Well, look, Mr. Loggins, thank you for calling in this afternoon. I know you had classes today, and we appreciate you taking some time for us. And congratulations. What a great victory, and what a great story. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. And by the way, we actually have a photograph over on our website. You'll be able to see the poster for yourself, toddstearns.com. The headline, Big Win, Teacher Wins Right to Display Charlie Kirk Poster. And you'll be able to read our story there and see the poster that that got him in, well, not necessarily in trouble, but thank goodness it's back up in the classroom. Also, another story we're looking at, Alabama Farm facing leftist outrage over a patriotic hail bale. They, you know, these bales of hay. Well, an Alabama farm decorated them in the red, white, and blue, and the liberals are losing their ever-loving minds. So you're going to want to go and read that story up on toddstearns.com as well. Lots of great content over there for you. Also, while you're there, you can subscribe to my daily newsletter as well as my podcast, and those are all free of charge as well. You can also visit our store, and you can check out all of our great products we have to offer there. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
In 1952, the Supreme Court ruled on a very interesting case, and this case, Zorach versus Clausen, determined that teaching the Bible during the public school day was in fact constitutional and therefore legal in all 50 states, but there were three conditions. First of all, the Bible classes would have to be off school property, they would have to be privately funded, and there would have to be parental permission involved. And that was the rule. Well, since then, tens of thousands of public school students are now legally attending LifeWise Bible classes, and this is happening, believe it or not, during school hours. It's an amazing story. LifeWise, LifeWise, LifeWise.org is the website, and I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the founder of LifeWise. His name is Joel Pinton. Joel, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's really a fascinating story, and we're going to get to the documentary in just a moment. But I'm really intrigued here by how you guys are able to teach the Bible to students during public school hours. How does that happen?
Well, you laid it out nicely about this little-known legal practice of release-time religious instruction. We're all aware that decades ago our nation systematically removed Bible education from the public school day, but very few people are aware that there is a legal way to reinstall it. It's release time, just what you said. The Supreme Court ruled that public school students can be released during school hours. It does have to be off school property, privately funded with parental permission, but it's possible. And I learned about this because of a community in Northwest Ohio, my hometown of Van Wert, Ohio. They started one of these release time programs. And their goal was to have 30% of kids enrolled, but by the third year, they had 95% of the entire public elementary school
Wow.
enrolled in this program.
being taught the Bible, they came to me. I'm the hometown guy. I had started a nonprofit. I live in Columbus, Ohio now. And they said, Joel, help us figure out why more communities don't have it. And my conclusion was that it's too hard to pull off. So I said, you know, here's what you should do. Take what you're doing, put it in a box, make it repeatable, make it scalable. They said, great idea, but we don't want to do that. Joel, we think you should do that. And so that's how I got somehow bamboozled into this whole thing. And so we started in 2019, and we started with just two schools, said, let's give it a try. And now communities are taking us up on it all around the country. And it's just in the same way kids get art class once a week, gym class a few times a week, music class once a week. Now they can get Bible class once a week.
So how does this work? So, I mean, do they have to be transported, and how do they get to wherever the off-site location is?
Yes. Yeah, so the logistics, just as you indicated, they do have to be transported. Almost always it's to a nearby church. You know, nearly every school building in the nation has a church within a mile, oftentimes one right next door. And when there's not one nearby, then we find a community building, or sometimes communities build a building. But yeah, they go off-site. We pick them up usually in a big red bus, take them down the road to the church, teach them Bible lesson, and bring them back. And so in the same way kids will, you know, a classroom or two at a time, walk down the hallway to go to gym class and then back to their classroom for the rest of the school day. In this case, they walk down the hallway and then out the door and onto a big red bus to get their Bible class and then come back.
So that brings us to, and by the way, if people would like information on how can they start one of those Bible clubs or organizations at their school, they can go to lifewise.org and get information on that. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You can go to lifewise.org. You can look up any school district in the nation and see what's the status. Is there a movement already underway in my community? And if so, you can get involved. And if not, you can start it at lifewise.org.
Wow, I love this. Now, tomorrow there is a huge thing happening. There is a documentary that's showing in major theaters across the nation. It's called Off School Property, Solving the Separation of Church and State. This is a documentary. And, I mean, you've got some big names here, Dr. George Barna, of course, Alyssa Childers, yourself, as well as Emmy Award-winning director Nate Lundquist. Tell us about the documentary.
Yeah, the documentary, we're so excited about it. As you said, it's being released in theaters nationwide tomorrow. And it really tells the story. It zooms out and tells the story, which is kind of a tragic story, of how the Bible was absolutely central to education here in America, and then sadly was removed by the courts and systematically removed, and then the disastrous effects that has had on our education system, on students. However, it ends with the hopeful note that there is this opportunity of release time religious instruction. There is a way to reinstall Bible education, and it does feature the LifeWise story about how it's happening in communities across the country.
I mean, at least for me, and I'm a Christian, but it's so obvious, you know, the problems that we're facing in our nation's education system right now can directly be traced back to when there was this very powerful movement to remove God and the Bible and prayer from public education. And now you've got chaos in the classroom.
You absolutely do. I mean, when you remove values, when you remove the fundamental, you know, the foundation of education, it devolves to chaos. I mean, many people talk about Bible education as kind of not just one additional subject, but in fact, the thing that's necessary to make sense of all the other subjects. It's like an operating system on a computer. It's not just one other piece of software. It's the thing that makes all the other pieces of software make sense and how they all fit together. That's what religious instruction is. That's what Bible education is. And so we shouldn't be surprised that when we remove that, everything goes haywire.
And we're talking about hundreds of movie theaters across the nation. I was just looking up for our friends in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. You've got the Regal Santeum, which is going to be showing the film tomorrow. Lots of other places around Oregon and Washington State. You folks listening in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, the same thing. I mean, just gosh, almost a half a dozen theaters will be showing the documentary tomorrow as well. That has to be really exciting to know that so many people are going to be seeing this film tomorrow.
It is exciting, and it's exciting because more than anything, we simply want to spread the word. We recognize that, sadly, this practice of release time, of teaching the Bible during school hours, is just, it's under the radar, very few people, underutilized, and so the greatest obstacle we face is just that people don't know, and we want to spread the word, and so this is a great way to do it, and we're excited to see what happens after tomorrow night.
And again, Joel, where can people go if they want to get information on how they can get their kids involved in LifeWise?
Yeah, you go to our website, lifewise.org. That's LifeWise.org. You can see all sorts of resources, including you can look up the status of your school district. You can get involved. And in fact, that's where you could go to find tickets for the movie as well. You can look up all the theaters at lifewise.org.
All right, fantastic. Joel, congratulations. What an exciting thing you guys are doing. And we just wish you nothing but the very best.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate the encouragement and the opportunity to be on. And all glory to God. We're excited to be impacting lives.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Pinton, he's the founder of LifeWise, which is an off-school property Bible study group. And they have tens of thousands of children involved in school districts all across America. I love this. If you go to lifewise.org, you'll be able to literally either type in your zip code, you can type in your city, and it'll show you exactly where the film is playing. And it's just one night only, one night only. By the way, you folks in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, it's playing at the Regal Theater there. Also, Gainesville, Georgia, folks, you're going to be able to see it at the Regal Hollywood Cinema. Also over in Buford, Regal Mall of Georgia IMAX there. Also, Movie Tavern Horizon Village in Sewanee, Georgia, and the AMC Sugarloaf Mills 18 in Lawrenceville. So, but again, you'll be able to, I can't go through all of our towns, but I'll do you folks in Statesville, North Carolina. But again, if you want to search your town, just go there. By the way, it's the Amstar 14 in Mooresville, North Carolina. If you guys know where that is, the Amstar 14 and the Regal Burkdale in Huntersville, North Carolina. But again, go to lifewise.org and you'll be able to find out how to get tickets to see the documentary tomorrow, Off School Property, Solving the Separation of Church and State. That's pretty cool. All right, 901-260-5926. I mean, would you agree with that, though, that things really started going topsy-turvy in schools when they took God and prayer and Bible reading out of the classroom? I know that a lot of people think, oh, well, that's just an easy thing to say. No, I really don't think. I mean, when I was growing up, we had all those things in our classrooms. The Gideons came in once a year, and they talked to all of the godless heathen children. And, you know, if we messed up or whatever, you know, we got in trouble at school back in the day. But we used to do, I'll never forget this, for Christmas, we would always reenact the birth of Jesus. Well, not the actual childbirth. That would be kind of weird. But you know what I'm talking about, the manger scene, and everybody wore towels and all that kind of stuff. So we used to do all of that stuff back in the day. We don't do that anymore in schools. But I will say this, we never had the school shootings. We never had the violence, the level of violence, the fighting and all that. At the level it is now, no, we didn't have any of that. None of that at all. I did have one teacher. I can't tell you who he was. He may still be alive. It was in junior high school. And, man, we were just a rough bunch. And he had some Tennessee Sipping Whiskey in his desk. Just took a shot every now and again. Said it was cough syrup for adults. That's what he told us. It was cough syrup for adults. But you know what? It was a fun class. We learned something. We learned it wasn't cough syrup, but we also learned other stuff. I'm just saying. You know, I get it. There are so many things and that you could do when it comes to your wireless service. So many companies out there doing stuff. But we choose Patriot Mobile. I want to explain why. First of all, they're Christians. They're owned by Christians. And they're also owned by conservatives, Christian conservatives. I love that. And they're also leading the way in what we call the red economy. These are conservatives supporting conservatives in the business world. And Patriot Mobile has really done a remarkable job building this massive national wireless service. By the way, they have access to all three major U.S. networks, and that means you are going to get exceptional nationwide coverage. They have unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, internet backup, and so much more. And it is so easy to switch. You can activate in minutes from the comfort of your home. And I know before you even ask, yeah, you get to keep your number and you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade if you want. Patriot Mobile, happy to help you out. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service right out of the gate. So it's worth it just to just check it out for that free month of service. PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or call them 972-PATRIOT. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Asheville, North Carolina. Chris, listening to us today. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, I think I'll talk real fast because I know you got a break coming up pretty soon. I wanted to say that when I went to school, we had a flag in every one of the rooms, and we said a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every day, and we said the Lord's Prayer. And once a week, there was a lady that came, and she had an easel, and she had she would depict a Bible verse and had these little felt figures that she would put on the easel and tell the story that we were talking about that day. And then she'd ask us questions. And I always looked forward to that. She came once a week on Wednesdays, I remember.
So they're not, so they weren't trying to proselytize you, because that's the argument we get a lot is, oh, well, they're just going to be proselytizing in the classroom. Did that happen back in the day?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Chris, it's a different day now, and
that's,
I do wonder.
Sure.
I'm wondering, what do you think caused the problems in the classrooms that we're dealing with today?
I don't think it happens in the classrooms. I think it happens to all these younger people that are on their phone for so many hours, which isn't good for their brain or their growth, and they watch these violent games where there's blood and people getting their heads cut off and blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous.
Where was I at? I was at a high school ball game. We broadcast one of the high schools in our local radio station that I own. And I noticed all the kids, their heads were buried in their phones.
Oh, yeah, I see a car coming on the highway towards me, and their head's down, and I go, stay away from me. I know you're on your phone. You're not watching the road.
No, you're not. That's insane. But it's a good point that a lot of the cultural influence, you know, I remember back in the day, remember, there's no way you could even get into a PG-13 movie. But now, you know, parents, they're not paying attention to what their kids are doing.
On their phone, too.
What's that now?
No, they don't pay attention because they're on their phone too, the parents.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You're absolutely right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for the call. And I will say this, that, you know, there was a time, and I'm sure many of you remember that, you know, Chris, back in the day, made sure they were actually teaching the Bible in the classroom. And it's not like you were having a Billy Graham crusade, or, you know, you weren't getting baptized during the lunch hour or during recess. But you're learning basic Bible stories, and you're learning about the Ten Commandments and not coveting your neighbor's behind and all that kind of stuff, and honoring your parents. You know, that's a big part of it. Can we just, let's just step back for a moment. Were our schools better off in the 1940s and 50s than they are today? I mean, when you look at some of the things the kids were expected to learn, and that goes all the way back to the turn of the century. I mean, it's just really remarkable. I can tell you right now, not a single student would be able to finish some of these exams the kids used to have to take. And that's because we've dumbed down the school system. But that's a whole different story than what we're talking about here, which is basically reintroducing God into the classroom. And imagine what that could do for the country. I'm telling you. That's, religion is the key. That's the key to everything. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Dalton Glasscock, runs my company. He's also serving on the Wichita City Council. There was a massive meeting yesterday, and it impacts homeowners in not only in Wichita, but you need to be hearing about what they almost did in Wichita. So you had the leftist in Kansas, and they were wanting to force landlords to accept Section 8 housing. So in other words, if you've got a potential person, they want to rent from you, and they've got these vouchers for Section 8 housing, you would be required under the law to rent to those individuals. You'd have to let them live in your home. And otherwise, you could go to jail. I mean, there were penalties attached to it. Dalton's going to tell us what happened. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Hope you tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. Senator Tommy Tuberville will be joining us. Well, there is a bizarre story north of the border in Canada, and this is frightening because I see this happening here, and I think to some extent it has already happened in Oklahoma, where you have indigenous tribes, Native Americans, that are coming in and saying, you know, oh, this land originally belonged to us, therefore we want it back. Well, across the border in Canada, in the city of Richmond, this is in British Columbia, they've taken this to a whole other extreme. So now the city of Richmond, British Columbia, is facing a court ruling that could lead to local citizens losing their homes. And this is a pretty good-sized community, and a lot of folks have, a lot of families have homes, much like it looks just like any other town you would see in America. Well, there was a court ruling, and the court ruling gave land rights to indigenous tribes. Now, the city is appealing the ruling, but landowners are concerned because right now, as it stands now, they could be kicked out of their houses, and they could be left with absolutely nothing. So the Supreme Court in British Columbia ruled that 1,800 acres inside the city belonged to local Native tribes. Now, the area of land was part of a Cowichan fishing village until the late 1800s when the Canadian government offered it to private property owners. Now the court is saying the private land titles were invalid and ordered the government to negotiate a solution, and that solution could lead to many, many people being kicked out of their homes. This is insane, and it is really generating some controversy on social media where people are talking about the idea that they no longer have the right to own their own homes in Canada, which is a fair argument to make. I mean, this is just insanity. So people are really freaking out about this, and you need to pay very close attention to what's happening. One person writing, congratulations, you work your whole life to buy a home, but somebody's great-great-great-grandparents might have fished nearby 150 years ago, and the court says your house is not really yours anymore. Mm. Meanwhile, in Wichita, Kansas, they've got a whole other mess going on. Yesterday, a major city council meeting. Right embroiled in all of this is Dalton Glasscock, who serves on the Wichita City Council. He's a great Republican. Dalton, good to have you with us today.
Always happy to be with you, Todd.
All right, so explain what happened. I mean, it was a packed house, standing room only at the council meeting. What was going down?
Well, first off, I want to talk about, you know, what you're talking about with Canada as well. You know, enshrined in our founding documents, our life lived in pursuit of happiness. And what originally was talked about was property. Canada, unlike the United States, does not have constitutionally protected property rights. And what a mess we are seeing in Canada. But property rights were also under attack here in America as well. Yesterday, we saw a packed city council meeting of property owners that were just wanting to make sure that they weren't forced to do business with the federal government. That was the primary point and topic of consideration yesterday. And fortunately for the citizens of Wichita and for affordable units in Wichita, It failed on a 4-3 vote.
I'm shocked, though, that it was a 4-3. I mean, that was pretty darn close.
Well, you know, there are real problems that tenants face, not just in Wichita, but across the country. You know, you can have bad landlords, and there are bad actors that should be held responsible and accountable. But we found out yesterday in Wichita that we have the laws on the books already to do that and to hold bad actors accountable, but we're not actively enforcing the laws. We need to actively be enforcing the laws instead of just creating new laws that that'll make us feel good, but actually in substance don't do anything and can worsen the situation for people that are needing affordable housing units in our community.
So here's how one of the local TV stations, this is KAKE. I have no idea what their political leanings are. I can imagine. Here's the headline. Wichita City Council rejects income discrimination protection and rental registry. What does that mean?
So I'm going to put that in simple terms. First off, the source of income discrimination is city ordinance would have compelled individuals to accept people with Section 8 vouchers. What that would have done is compelled landlords to do business with the federal government. Well, what we're facing right now is the Schumer shutdown in Washington, D.C., and we're seeing the challenges of federal policy right now. So you're asking landlords, forcing landlords to accept a voucher in business with the federal government when the federal government has no assurance that payments are going to be made past December is when they just most recently extended it. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of the registry, let's say that your tenant doesn't cut their lawn. You have a tenant agreement with that. You get a letter of nuisance from the city. You don't even have to be convicted of it. You just have to be violated. You don't have to be convicted of nuisance ordinances. And if you get two of those, your property is then put on a list of bad actors in a registry held by the city government. And I just believe that that goes far above and beyond what the citizens are asking. They just want to live in safe homes, free of mold, free of making sure that you have heating and air conditioning and water. We're not talking about lawns, but we are treating that the same way, and there is no discrepancy or difference in policy.
You know, that's a very fair point because, I mean, if this had already been in place, you could be in a situation as the landlord. If you're not getting any money, there's a government shutdown. You're not getting any money for rent in the month of November.
No, and we are going to force landlords to do that. You know what that happens? They end up selling off their property. They're going to get some return on their investment. They're going to look at their sunk costs. They're going to sell off their property at a higher margin. That's going to eliminate a rental and affordable housing units in our community, exacerbating what we're trying to solve. I'm not disputing that there may not be challenges in our community, but more government overreach and mandate is only going to push good actors of the market. Bad actors aren't going to be responsible and responsive to it anyway. Let's hold them accountable through laws we already have in the book.
And, you know, this is not connected, but again, I think the concern, especially if you're a landlord, is you want to make sure you have good tenants. You want to have folks that are, and that's saying nothing about Section 8 housing at all, but you want to make sure that you're going to have good tenants that are going to take care of the property. One of the big challenges that cities are having right now, Dalton, is you've got these big conglomerates, these big companies coming in, buying up homes in neighborhoods and turning those into rental properties. And I know, for example, in the Memphis area, that's been a big problem because a lot of the renters are not taking care of the property. And the other homeowners that actually live in their homes, you know, they really don't have any recourse.
Well, you know, that's the real challenge is bad actors, large conglomerates are going to be able to hire attorneys, be able to navigate a bureaucratic process. They're going to be able to hire compliance officers and to be able to fight these charges. You know who's not going to be able to do that? Small mom and pop shops that maybe have two rental units are not going to be able to do that. They would rather get out of the business, find a different way to secure their money and their assets, because I've heard stories of landlords losing $20,000 when tenants come in due to destruction of damages. They do have eviction that they can evict these individuals, but beyond that, there's little recourse to get their money back.
No, look, and we built some, there was one town that built some really nice new Section 8 housing. I mean, really nice neighbors. They went in, they tore down what they used to call the projects, and they rebuilt, and 10 years later, you've got a lot of those buildings are now in disrepair. And I think it goes back to this fundamental issue is if you don't own it, you're probably not going to take care of it. And if you do own it, there's a very good chance you are going to take care of it because you're responsible for it. You got to pay for it.
Well, we have to protect tenants. We have to protect landlords. And if we continue down the path of more government control and housing, we're going to end up like Canada where we don't have property rights. and where they are enshrined in our Constitution. And that's not a direction I want to go to. And I want to make sure that we are protecting property rights and making sure that we have safe, affordable homes for individuals to live in.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Crazy, crazy story. So well done, Dalton. You guys held the line. But I think it's also a warning that we've got a lot of liberal people in this nation. And there are a lot of people that, you know, feel like, you know, the landlord should have complied with this. And in a place like Wichita, it's kind of scary because you would think that there would be more people thinking the way you think on that, Glasscock.
Well, you know, I think a lot of my colleagues' hearts are on the right place, and I think they actively want to help people just like me. But I don't believe that more government outreach or oversight is going to do that. I believe we should enforce laws and books that are currently there, and that's how we protect tenants and landlords in our community.
All right. Oh, by the way, Dalton, while I've got you here, we just got the latest numbers on the, you know, the National Guard is in Memphis, which is very exciting. And it's kind of like being in, I don't know, a Schwarzenegger or Steven Seagal movie. You hear the big military choppers hovering overhead. You know, people are, you know, jumping out of the choppers and, you know, doing these raids. It's really remarkable. They got over 1,500 federal assets, boots on the ground. So far, Dalton, 1,267 arrests of violent criminals, 239 illegal firearms seized, 51 sex offenders charged, and 67 missing children have been located.
Todd, your crime in Memphis is off the charts. You often tell me, you're like, oh, why don't you visit often? Why don't you come back here often? And then you tell me those crime statistics.
You should come back. It's safe now. Are you ready for this? A 40% drop in violent crime in just 3 weeks.
People want safe communities.
No, they do. And I'll say this, over on the 911 side, they said there's been a 20% drop in calls because, you know, people are behaving themselves. You got to love it.
Todd. Well, hey, it's always good to talk to you.
All right. Dalton Glasscock, city councilman there in Wichita, Kansas. Go get him, Dalton.
See you soon.
All right. There you go. No, look, this is insane, ladies and gentlemen. You can't be forcing homeowners to do stuff like this. That's just outrageous. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Don't forget, go read all of our great stories over at toddstearns.com. It has really become a landing page for conservatives, 1.5 million page views every single month. So a lot of great content for you there, and hope you take some time to go and check that out. So last night on Newsmax, Congressman Ralph Norman, he's running for governor in South Carolina. Congressman Norman weighing in on the government shutdown and where we go from here. Let's take a listen.
Joining me now is South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman, a member of the House Budget Committee. All right, Congressman, what's going on here? Are the Democrats going to end up caving?
Well, one of two things, Todd. Either they're going to cave or we'll sit there. I mean, there's nothing to negotiate. I mean, we've done our part. And you can't hijack the American people. And that's what they're doing for $1.5 trillion that we don't have, that they want to go to what they consider their voting bloc, which are illegal immigrants on Medicaid and Medicare. So we'll see. I think it's great for the Senate to keep voting to show the American people how they're stalling at every level.
But, you know, Congressman, it's not just that money for illegal aliens and their health care. That's money that would not be going to law-abiding American citizens. They also want to refund NPR and PBS. We had Congressman Tim Burchett on yesterday saying they want to fund insane stuff like pastry training classes for male prostitutes in Haiti. What in the world are these people smoking over there?
Well, the Democrat Party now, Todd, is a party of the socialist Marxist. And just like Speaker Johnson said, they're scared of the guillotine, meaning that their leadership is going to come down on them. It just shows they don't own their voting card anymore. They've given away their rights to the far left. And Chuck Schumer is looking after his own political future because he's scared to death of a run against him by AOC. So it's a party that's gone amok. It's a party that does not represent the American people. It's a far cry from those in the 60s and 70s, really, that made up the Democrat Party.
You know, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, what can you tell us about this guy? Because it doesn't seem as if he has control of the party. At least it seems from our vantage point that maybe AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Ilhan Omar, the radical progressives are controlling the party right now.
That's exactly what's happening. And underneath the surface, they're beginning to crack because their leadership, I mean, they have no core values. What are they running on other than their hopes of regaining power in the midterms, which is not going to happen. But, I mean, just look at what they're doing. Look at the rhetoric that an ICE agent got shot, I understand, today in Los Angeles. But with the No Kings rally that is totally fueled by their hatred of Donald Trump, they've lost their way. They're off the tracks with the American people, and they've got to be held accountable for it because there's no excuse for what they're doing.
Congressman, you brought up it was the U.S. Marshal who was shot by a ricocheting bullet out there. Regardless, you've got Democrats, and I think DHS put it correctly. Democrats are giving these illegals tips on how to evade arrest. You've got these mobs surging. We've already had an incident in Dallas, Texas, where illegals were shot, but those bullets were actually meant for the ICE officers there. How concerned are you, and what is your message to your friends across the aisle that continue with this really dangerous rhetoric?
Well, first of all, I'm concerned for those in law enforcement. And this doesn't just affect them, Todd. I mean, look at the message it's sending all across this country to defy law enforcement. Illegals that come into this country are just that. They broke the law, and they have to be dealt with. And Donald Trump is doing what he said he was going to do, which is, one, close the border, and then, two, get rid of the ones that are here now illegally and not let them be a part of the system. And that's the $1.5 trillion that they want. But my message to them is they're holding the American people hostage. The 1.3 million military personnel that's not getting the paycheck, those children on SNAP, it's unconscionable that they're doing this. And the Republicans are united. And we had a call with Mike Johnson today. But every week we're getting more and more fed up with what the Democrats are doing. But we're sticking tight, and there's nothing to negotiate.
No, there isn't anything to negotiate. And so good for you, Congressman Norman. He's a good guy, and I'm glad they're sticking by their guns here. Ultimately, and by the way, there will be another vote this afternoon, the Republicans are trying. They're trying to get the CR done, but the Democrats simply refuse to do so. And right now, they're going bonkers crazy, bonkers on the Senate floor. Cory Booker's screaming right now. Unbelievable. All right, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Congresswoman Kat Kamick. She'll be joining us exclusively here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That will be a fun conversation. Also, want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas time coming up, and what a great thing we've got over at ToddStearns.com, our store. You can purchase all of my books. We also have some great merch there as well, so go and check that out. But seriously, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, it is a wonderful, wonderful gift for Christmas, whether it be a fellow church member, someone in your Sunday school class, maybe your grandma, mom, aunt. It is a wonderful little stocking stuffer, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, and you'll be able to get a copy at your favorite bookstore, or you can order one on Amazon, or go to ToddStearns.com, click on the store app, and you'll be able to buy one right there. And I will personally autograph the ones that you purchase over on our website, ToddStearns.com. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. We will see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on national television, and right back here on the radio tomorrow. You be good and safe, America.